Today in Agronomy on KFIL AM 1060 with Pioneer Field Agronomist Allie Wise and Josh Schaffner. Here's Josh and Allie.
Good morning, Southeast Minnesota. It's October 20th, 2021, and this is episode 83. Well, I'm still flying here solo as Allie's away. Again, I'm on attorney leave and kind of got a lot of ground to cover here this week and kind of catch up on a few things. And number one, just kind of looking at, kind of harvest progress across the area. Things are progressing really well. It was really nice to see kind of some of the gloomy weather and damp days turn around so we could jump out of the corn and get back into the soybeans. Still some soybean harvest going on, but definitely, the weekend and the first part of the week allowed a lot of people to get beans wrapped up. And as you wrap up beans and get back to corn, I anticipate the corn harvest pace will really kick into gear as kind of a unique fall. We're way ahead, but it kind of feels like we're behind. Just kind of looking at crop stage and obviously both crops kind of being ready to come out at the same time has put a little bit of pressure on just our harvest pace. But overall, really hard to complain to be where we're sitting here with this kind of weather in mid-October and kind of see where we're coming on progress. So, I'm going to start out here a little bit just to kind of take a look at the trends. I always like to share this information of, just how is the crop trending from a yield standpoint, corn and soybeans. So as I set this up, we talk a lot about our replicated PKP plots we do here with Pioneer, just in the southeast corner of Minnesota. Every year we plant in the ballpark of 65 to 70 corn locations and in the ballpark of 45 to 50 soybean locations. So just kind of looking at, the soybean side of things to start with, currently we have 31 of those locations in the system here. There's probably a few more we'll get added here at the end of the week. But currently, if we just take all the varieties, in this case, we have, I believe we got 8 varieties this year in there, 10 varieties, in the plot set this year. If I just take all the locations, all the varieties, average it up, we're sitting at a 71.6 bushel average. If we compare that, we've done this plot set dating all the way back to 2014. Our high set average was recorded last year at 70.9. So currently this year, we are trending at a record pace. And the one thing that's different about this year, maybe than other years, is we did go through a pretty big trait platform transition. And this year, all of this plot data is in List E3 soybeans. Excited with that lineup, a lot of new varieties there. And just extremely excited about how that portfolio has come together. And the performance from a yield standpoint and agronomics and weed control has been excellent. So certainly be looking for that. If you're looking for that information, just reach out to your local Pioneer sales rep and they'll get you hooked up with that as well. Kind of flipping gears just to corn on the trends. Currently got 20 locations in of the 65 to 70 we'll have total. Currently we're trending at a right dead even 240 bushel average. If we kind of look at that, if I compare that to last year, was our record set in that was 241.8. So currently kind of knocking on the door there. Certainly looking like we'll maybe line up as maybe at least for sure, probably maybe the second best one through the run through the years there. But a long ways to go. We could see that number change a couple bushel either way. And definitely seeing some variability out there, especially as we get a few areas a little bit drier, dragging us down a little bit. But with that said, we're also seeing some really nice, good, stability across the geography as well. So that's just kind of a review of the trends there, what we're seeing. And again, we are kind of pushing this data out to our sales reps once or twice a week. If you're looking to get your hands on this, reach out to them or don't be shy to let myself or Emily or any of your local Pioneer team know, and they'll get you hooked up with that information as well. So a lot of things going on right now. One thing I just want to kind of review, maybe just some of the common phone calls that we've had here as harvest has progressed. I know we talked a little bit about the soybean side of that last time around standability and a few things. Not a lot has changed from that standpoint as soybeans kind of come to a wrap here. The corn side of it, I think one of the most common questions I've had is, just kind of what's all the black dust? There's kind of a cloud around the combine. The machines are kind of really turning black as we harvest and making the machines dirty. A lot of you are probably struggling with some of that in your air filters and have to just really keep a close eye on that as your harvest days go along as well. And, there's been a lot of things thrown around. It's like, okay, is this from the tar spot dust? There's so much out there. Is this from anthracnose or what's causing it? And really, what is causing this is kind of none of the above that I just mentioned. In most cases, this is all being caused by saprophytic fungi. And I know that's kind of a mouthful and you might not remember that word. after the show. But, you know, basically, you know, I don't want to spend a lot of time and confuse our listeners on this, but basically what's happening there is not an uncommon thing when we get growing seasons that are maybe a little bit drier, followed by some moisture late. Maybe we had some stress on the plant, but kind of along the story short is we just basically got like a kind of a secondary black mold growth on the plant tissue. So this isn't necessarily being caused by a disease of the corn that's maybe hurting performance of the corn. It's actually just a fungus that's kind of growing on the plant material itself, kind of unrelated to a corn disease from that same point. Yeah, in some cases, if you were out in your cornfields all summer, you know, kind of our lack of rainfall, the plants were just really dirty all year. We had a lot of pollen on the plants. You know, you pair that. We had some corn aphids out there, so we got some honeydew. But you kind of pair all that together. We never really had enough rain that just rinsed all that off. In some cases, the light rains we had, it almost just kind of cemented that on those leaves. And now we're dealing with kind of a secondary fungus growth on that as we've had some moisture, some dewy evenings. And then just our lack of cold temperatures or any kind of frost is kind of what's drawn that on. So as I come back from break here, I'll just wrap up on that. And then we'll talk about a few of the other common questions from the field. Welcome back, listeners. First segment there, I talked quite a bit about just kind of the harvest trends, progress. And then I was talking a little bit about kind of the black dust and what's been making the combines really dirty. And again, I mentioned, you know, it's saprophytic fungi that's causing this. Even though a lot of people think it might be all the black specks and tar spot or maybe some anthracnose dust off, it is just a secondary fungus called saprophytic fungi causing that. So again, you know, just to kind of wrap up on that, in some cases too, you may see this black dust if you look at an ear that's formed on the kernels. So the first thing you start thinking about, well, is this an issue from a toxicity standpoint from if I'm using my grain for feed? In most cases, that's not going to pose any threat from that standpoint. I don't think it's something that we're going to have to worry about from a grain quality standpoint. In most cases, the grain looks really clean. A lot of this just gets blown off as you harvest, and not going to be an issue from a standpoint of you know, hurting animals or making them sick from a feed standpoint. So that's just kind of what's causing that. Again, probably just my most common question here the last couple of weeks. I just wanted to kind of clear that up. Another thing, you know, I have been getting a lot of questions around tar spot as well as we've done corn harvest. If you look at the southeast corner of the state, especially east of Highway 52, you know, there's not a cornfield that you're not going to find tar spot in. So with that said, we talked a lot about this last year. It kind of moved into southeast Minnesota. In most cases last year, we maybe found a speck or two on a leaf here and there, maybe an isolated field that had some more pressure. You know, this year that's expanded to where you'll find it in every field and at a much higher level of infection on the plants. Now, with that said, are we seeing some yield limitation of tar spot? Absolutely, we are. Is it widespread yield limitation? I don't believe so in this given year. So when we think about tar spot, it is something we're going to want to be thinking about as we move into, you know, 2022. A lot of chat around fungicide, you know, being something that helps a lot. I would agree. It's definitely going to be a tool, but also looking at variety selection is going to be, you know, equally as important as considering fungicide applications, just depending on the infection timing. I know here at Pioneer, we'll have all of our kind of hybrids locally kind of ranked out from what we think are best, you know, to moderate. For the most part, we see pretty good tolerance to it, but there are some hybrids that really stand out, kind of being, you know, maybe a step above all the rest. So certainly we'll get that published out and be looking for that here in the next few weeks as we publish out some fall harvest results and our agronomy summary book. So that's out there as well. The other thing that's really popped up here the last maybe 10, 12 days we've been harvesting corn is the amount of corn rootworm feeding we have on corn following soybeans. So in most cases here, we're maybe not using a CRW trait when we're corn on soybeans. We're using what we would call a double or non-rootworm or just an above ground insect control, which is very common in southeast Minnesota. And basically what we're seeing is we're seeing quite a bit of extended diapause rootworm damage. So just to kind of back that up, what does extended diapause mean? Kind of put this in simple terms. So basically we have two species of corn rootworm locally. We have northern corn rootworm and we have western corn rootworm. Basically what I say extended diapause, what's happening is the northern corn rootworm species, they've kind of adapted to our rotation. So what they're doing is they've realized that we like to do corn, bean, corn, bean. So in that situation, what's happening is when they lay their eggs after corn, when it goes to beans, those eggs are laying dormant for an extra full year. and then hatching out, taking 2 years to hatch out in theory. So then they're hatching out when we're back to corn with no rootworm protection, and they're really causing some pretty significant feeding and damage. I think one thing that's been going on right now, I think in some cases we're overlooking this a little bit. In a lot of the cases where I've seen a lot of corn, extended diapause feeding on corn on soybean ground, we're maybe seeing some stalk challenges in those as too, but I think in some cases we're saying, oh, we got down corn from stalks. But at the end of the day, when we really take a look at it, we have severe rootworm feeding. That added stress might've been an entry point for some fusarium type things. And as a result, we're seeing, you know, some root lodging, but also paired with some pretty severe stalk lodging along the way. So if you are seeing some down corn, especially in corn on soybeans, you know, reach out to myself or your local pioneer rep, make sure we're taking a look at that just so we can make the right decisions moving forward of what our management or our control tactics are going to be for next year. Corn rootworm are extremely adaptable pests. If we look at insects that we deal with in corn, they're probably of all insects we deal with in corn, they're the most adaptable. From, you know, we've seen trait resistance, you know, we know we have traits out there that there's resistance to. We look at, they're kind of overcoming our rotational trends right now. You know, in some pockets of the country, which we got to keep an eye on this, you know, the Westerns have actually figured out, hey, you don't like to plant corn on corn, so I'm going to fly out, lay my eggs in the beans. So that's always something we got to be looking at. And the challenge when you think about managing this is it's really hard to predict. Like, I can't tell you, okay, this field will likely have diapause next year or this one won't. Obviously right now I'm doing some study, just looking at the trends and making sure like, hey, are we only seeing this feeding in corn, bean, or are we seeing some in corn, bean, just to do due diligence. So we'll have some reports back on that here in the coming weeks, as I do a bunch of investigative work to kind of see where we're seeing this feeding and where we're not, so that we can make good decisions on whether it be traits or insecticide usage. We're looking at some rotated acres that are going corn, bean. So a lot of things out there, always things be looking for. You'll certainly reach out to us if you're seeing these trends. We do a lot of work to make sure we stay ahead of this, that we can wrap up a successful 2021 and get ready for a successful 2022. With that, is a wrap for this week, and look forward to chatting with you all next week.
You've been listening to Today in Agronomy on KFIL AM 1060. If you've missed part of the show or want to hear more, check out the show page at KFILradio.com or with the 103.1 KFIL app. Stay connected with Allie and Josh on Twitter. It's at Allie G. Wise, W-I-S-E, and at Josh Schaffner. Submit your questions for the show. Tune in next Wednesday for the next Today in Agronomy on KFIL AM 1060.